Ze zeggen dat je zou meer van die sappen ze zeggen dat je zou niet heel schijn met je schoof alle onder voor slemel dan ze even ben rus. Oké. I guess this part of the year, you know, the Gemara says Sholem Adarshim Hilchas HaPesach Shloshim Yom Kodav HaPesach. So the Gemara says in Metzia, and the Taz discusses this, that usually the Rebbe is in charge of what to learn. He can decide what he wants to learn, and the Talmidim are Meshubah to the Rebbe. But Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, the Talmidim could demand that they want to hear the Inyanim of Pesach. So the Rebbe is Meshubah to the Talmidim then. And this has an aftermina by Levimo, by Shoyal. So therefore, there will be a no-brainer that we'll do a Yoni Pesach today. Okay, so let's see what's special about this year's Pesach. The Seder's Friday night. The Seder's Friday night. And Erev Pesach is before Erev Pesach is Achalios Erev Shabbos. So those are two special things that we have: Erev Pesach Shechalios Erev Shabbos, and the Seder being Friday night. So I guess we'll go in the sequential order of the fact that Erev Pesach is on Erev Shabbos. So the Mishnah in Tamid Nishchat, the fifth parak of Psachim, we know that normally the halacha is that the korban Tamid Shashachar is the first korban of the day, and the Tamid Shulbein Arbayim is the last korban of the day. And you're not supposed to bring any korbanos before the Tamid Shashachar, and not supposed to bring any korbanos after the Tamid Shulbein Arbayim. So everything is sandwiched in between the Talmid Shel Shachar and the Talmid Shel Ben Arbayim, with the exception of Korban Pesach. With the exception of Korban Pesach, that Korban Pesach is brought after the after the Talmid Shel Ben Arbayim. Korban Pesach is brought after the Talmid Shel Ben Arbayim. And that's the exception to rule. That's when it's brought. The Gemara says that it discusses that in Psachim, and that's sugya there in Tamid Nishchat. It says the Gemara Tamid Kodem LePesach. The Korban Tamid comes before the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says, so normally the Tamid is Nishchad and Shmono Mechza and Korban Betesha Mechza. So it's Shechta, it's say 2:30 in the afternoon, and it's brought 3:30 in the afternoon. But an Erev Pesach, so you have another thing. You have to be Makdim the Korban Shel Ben Arbayim, because since we're going to bring Korbanos afterwards, normally we don't bring Korbanos afterwards. So the Korban Shel Ben Arbayim could be from 2:30 to 3:30, and then we close shop for the day. Not bad, 2:30 to 3:30, close shop. Yes, we close shop for the day. But on Erev Pesach, you can't close shop for the day because you're first starting to open up for the Korban Pesach, right? So therefore, they had to make it 1 hour earlier. That instead of 2:30, 3:30, it would be 1:30, 2:30, and then the Korban Pesach would be brought from 2:30 till nightfall, because the Korban Pesach had to be brought on Erev Pesach, and it could only be brought after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So therefore, you have to push up the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim an hour. However, when Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, so now we have two considerations. Not only we have to bring the Korban Tamid before the Korban Pesach, but if it's on Erev Shabbos, the Korban Tamid has to be roasted on Erev Shabbos as well, because you can't roast it on an Erev at night. Normally you can roast it at night, but if the night is Shabbos, which it is this year, so then what? It would have to have been, so you need, there are two considerations that you have to take into account. The bringing of the Korban Pesach and the roasting of the Korban Pesach both had to be done before nightfall. So therefore, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim had to be moved up by 2 hours. Normally it's, as we said, 2:30 to 3:30. So it goes from 1:30 to, so it goes from 2:30 to 3:30. So now it's 1:30 to 2:30, and then 1 hour earlier, even earlier than that, 12:30 to 1:30. So to enable the two things to happen, the bringing of the Korban Tamid and the roasting it. Because normally you can bring the Korban Tamid out of Pesach, you roast it at night. You can roast it at night, but okay, on Shabbos you can't do that. There's initial bishul on Shabbos. So you can't do. And in fact, I always say there's one area in halacha that balabatim usually do more lechatchila than they do in yeshivas, and that is, what is that? That is the zman for davening mincha, because in yeshivas the minhag is to daven mincha gedola. That's the minhag, right? In yeshivas they will daven mincha gedola, so mincha gedola. The Mechaber says, seemingly, is only a din b'dieved, because since the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim was not brought Mincha Gedola usually, because if it would be brought a Mincha Gedola, then you won't be able to bring any other Korbanos that day. You'll have to close shop. So Lemaisi is still allowed to bring it, but practically, that wasn't the time that it was brought, because then if you would bring the Tamid Ben Arbayim from Mincha Gedola, then you would have to end the day. So but Meikar Halacha, you're allowed to bring it. So therefore, we can daven Mincha Gedola. But the Shulchan Aruch says that really it's not L'chatchila. L'chatchila is to daven later, because that's when Mechitana, because that's when the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim was born on a regular basis. So there's a luach in Eretz Yisrael printed in the name of Rav Chaim Berlin that says that even though during the whole year round Mincha Ketana is more chashuv than Mincha Gedola, but on Erev Pesach, or especially they point out that Erev Pesach Shechal Yos Be'Erev Shabbos, then Mincha Gedola has a more chashuv of a status, because then that's when they actually daven Mincha Gedola. In other words, they didn't daven Mincha Gedola, they didn't bring the Korban Tamid by Mincha Gedola on a regular time, only on Erev Pesach Shechalios Erev Shabbos. That's the real Mincha Gedola, is what they're going to do this coming Friday at Erev Pesach Shechalios Erev Shabbos. I mean, it's going to become relevant if they pass this bill that they're going to have daylight savings time the whole year. So then, also, it's going to become it's going to be a lot of tzaras. But one of the things is that normally the halacha is that we don't do we're supposed to wait at least for mitzvahs that we do in the daytime when you make a bris. He's not supposed to do it, even though from Alosa Shachar is daytime, but Lachatchil is supposed to wait till sunrise to do any mitzvah that you have to do in the daytime. You wait till sunrise. You don't do a bris milah before sunrise, even though it's still daytime from Alosa Shachar. But But the one mitzvah that's an exception, the pre-Chadash Paskins, that the Tamid Shel Shachar in the base of Mikdash was always brought before Netzacham. Why? The same idea. Because, again, nothing can be brought before. So if you want to bring a lot of Karbanos today, you better bring the Tamid Shel Shachar as early as possible to enable you to bring all the Karbanos afterwards. So that's what they did Lachatchila. So the Pre-Chadash says, if that's what they did Lachatchila in the base of Mikdash, so then Lachatchila you can daven before Netzacham to daven Shachar. But it's going to become even more difficult if they pass this bill, because it's not even going to be it's going to be problems. So I hope that, you know, even though I'm a person who likes daylight, you know, and I like a lot of daylight, but I don't like the idea of in the morning having the darkness and also these halachic problems. I hope that proper people lobby to not to pass this bill, because it'll just cause too much tsaros for the Jewish people. Okay, so that's the first point. The uniqueness of this year is that the Erev Pesach, Shachal Yosper Erev Shabbos, then Mincha Gedola, that's in the name of Chaim Berlin, is considered a L'chatchila. The yeshivas, they do it, you know, it's not because they want to fit it into the schedule. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you have a good reason, then you could even do it L'chatchila. But the technical halacha is that it's better to daven Mincha on the Mincha Ketana side of the day, and not on the Mincha Gedola, because that's when the Korban Tamid, Shobein Arbayim, is normally brought. Okay, then another unique thing is that the Seder night is Friday night. The Seder night is Friday night. So there is an interesting question about the Seder being Friday night, and that is the following. Normally, the general mitzvahs that we talk about, lulav, shofar, you know, we never do these mitzvahs on Shabbos because we're afraid that we're going to not be bucky in how to do the mitzvahs. And we're not going to be bucky, and we're going to have to go to a chacham to teach us, and we're going to carry the lulav, we're going to carry the shofar. But matzah, there's no big deal. What do you mean you're not bucky and eating? You know what I mean? I mean, unfortunately, I remember today. Yesterday was the second yahrzeit from my father, Alav HaShalom. And at the end of his life, he was on a feeding tube and he couldn't, you know. So I always used to think about, you know, a person not being bucky and eating, can't eat. We take it for granted that the end of his life, you know, he wasn't able to, you know, had to put in a feeding tube. So what's the question? The question is like this. If you look carefully in Rashi, in Sukkah, Membeis, and Membeis, so he says like this, that the idea of lulav, that you can't take lulav on Shabbos, is because a person will have to go to the Baki. For what purpose? Says Rashi, look there, Sukkah, Membeis, and Membeis, the lamdo, the anuo, o birchaso. In other words, you might go and take the lulav to learn the nanuim from the or the bracha, and then you'll take the lulav with you. So the question is, the Shaul Meshiv of Yosef Shaul Nathanson asked the question that so if the problem is that he might not know the bracha, he needs to learn the bracha, and therefore he's going to bring the lulav or the shofar. And he's going to have him say the bracha for him, so then the same thing should apply to matzah. And that was the question of Yosef Shaul Nathanson. How come there wasn't a gezeirah the rabba by matzah, just like we don't, in other words, we don't blow shofar or shosh ha'im, so we're only doing it on the second day. And we only have lulav, right? We don't have on the first day when sukkahs falls out on Shabbos. So the same thing should apply to matzah, according to the opinion of Rashi, that the Gzeira the Rabbah had to do with not only with the physical aspects of blowing and shaking, but it had to also do with the idea of the bracha. And the bracha is the same issue of a bracha, not knowing how to do the bracha would apply to matzah as well. And that's the question of Yoshel Shal Matz. So what's the answer to this question? So the Netziv has a very partial answer. He says, matzah is different than all the other mitzvahs because lulav, shofar, they're mitzvahs only in the daytime, right? The mitzvah is the daytime. This mitzvah of matzah is dafka at night. You know, and that's, they say from the Vilna Gaon, mash nishtana halayla zem, kol halaylos. Basically, the idea is that how come this night, normally most mitzvahs we have are in the daytime, the day mitzvahs. And manishtana halayla zem, this yontif, the night seems to get the, you know, the priority. Well, the mitzvahs are night. So, you know, different mefarshim explain because Pesach is about emunah and emunos chabalelos. That, you know, when things are not so bright at night, you know, so that's when we have to build up our emunah. So therefore, the mitzvahs of the Seder are all mitzvahs balayla. And we know, Bizman Chazal, and we see this in Hilchas Chanukah, that once it was night, then no one was in the street anymore. They didn't have street lamps like we have today. That's why in the old halacha was that after the first half an hour of the night, then you couldn't light Chanukah neiros anymore. Because who's going to, in other words, Bizman Chazal, the whole hadlakas neiros was only for the people, the B'nai Rishus HaRabim, and no one was walking in the street after that. That was it. You know, you get the, okay, the sun is setting, half an hour, the people are running home, and that was it. And so if you missed it, you missed the mitzvah. So what are you telling me? That you're gonna make a gzeira that maybe he doesn't know how to do it, and he's gonna carry his matzah to learn the bracha from the chacham, but at night, no one's going out at night anyway. And the Gezerah de Rabba only applied to mitzvahs that are done in the daytime. So therefore, there was never a Gezerah de Rabba on a mitzvah that is a night mitzvah, because the whole idea of going out at night, the night life didn't exist, Bizman Chazal. You see that, as we say, Hilchas Chanukah, that you can't light the menorah anymore. Once it's night, you know, you get the first little half window of opportunity from the beginning of the night, but it's still the sun is setting and that's it. And so it's still a little bit light. But after that, finished. So that's the teretz of the Netziv. There's a sefer called Beis Sha'arim, of Amram Bloom. Who wrote a sefer, a big Hush of a Tshuva sefer. Rav Menashe Klein, Zatzal, he named his shul Beis Sha'arim, because his wife was a Bloom. And there was, you know, that. So he says a very interesting, another pshat, into how come there's no Gzeira de Rabba by Matzah. He says, because where was Klal Yisrael at that point? All of Klal Yisrael was in Yerushalayim. All of Klal Yisrael was in Yerushalayim. They had to bring the Korban Pesach. So they all came to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says that Yerushalayim had a unique quality, that the gates of Yerushalayim were closed every night. Yerushalayim, the gates were closed every night. So Mamela, there was no Rishus HaRabim in Yerushalayim because they were closed every night. So therefore, even though Yerushalayim was a public thoroughfare, but it didn't have a status of Rishus HaRabim because it had losses in Umos Balayla. That the losses were, so Mamela, so once the, And that's in other words, when we say when you build an Eruv, you can't make an Eruv in the Rishus HaRabim, but you can make Blossos. But Blossos means that on every street you put a Dallas, and then there's a Machlokus, whether it has to be royal or Belilah, or you actually have to lock it every night. So it says, Yushalayim, Gemara says, Kame el mole dol sosed anonus balayla yu thargim ala mishus harabim. That had not been that Yushalayim was locked at night, it would be chayiv, but l'maisa is locked at night. It was locked at every night, the gates of Yushalayim. So that took away the din of mishus harabim. You know, people like to try to do that, you know, in areas that are Rosh Hashanah, but they want to say, well, we lock it for 2 seconds on the night of the Thanksgiving parade or something like that. So, Chora, like Dov Feinstein said, that's not Chora not going to do it because you need, you know, Chora every night and locked every night, right a little. It's hard to even say that it's royal at all, but so Yerushalayim didn't have a din of Rishus HaRabim, so the Mela is no Gzeira de Rabba. He said it still might be a din de Rabbanan of Carmelis or something like that, but then they're not going to make a Gzeira out of the Rabbanan. So there was no Rishus HaRabim. They're not going to make a Gzeira on a de Rabbanan. So Mevel Yushalayim, as far as carrying, is only this at the Rabban. So to and so for the and for the matzah, everyone was there in Yushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. So that was. It's interesting. I was preparing another shiur for someplace else. That there's a question: how long did they stay? Once you went to Yushalayim for Pesach or Sukkot. So did you stay there the whole Yontif, or did you stay just for the first days and then the Chol HaMoed, you already went back? No. So it's a machloke, because the simple chat in the Chumash just says, Fanisa Baboker V'alachta Lo Alacha. And once the morning comes, morning doesn't mean the morning of the first day. It means the morning of the first day of Chol HaMoed. You can already start going. So there's a whole. The Abar Bernel has a fascinating idea. He says, the Abar Bernel says that there was a chiluk between the Sukkot and Pesach. That whether you stayed the whole time or not, because he says by Sukkot you're already relaxed. It's a Chag HaAsif. You already have everything. But a person's relaxed that he could take off for a week to stay in Yerushalayim because you have all your produce. You already took it in. But when it comes to Pesach, it's the produce is still beginning. The farmers have to get back. You know. They have to start, for right after Yontif. They're not going to start the trip right after the seventh day, and then take another bunch of days till they finally got back. They won't enjoy it. They won't enjoy it. So that's what the Abar Bernel says. And it comes to Sukkot, they used to stay the whole 7 days in Shalai, 8 days, whatever. But when it comes to Pesach, they went. They left right away. Because if they would keep them too long, they wouldn't enjoy it because the produce is not still needs working on, etc. The Chasam Sofer says just the opposite. The Chasam Sofer says that no, when it comes to Sukkot, they went home right away because it's the beginning of the winter. It's bad weather. It's going to come, so they try to. Get home so soon as possible, and Pesach they stayed longer. Okay, but that's the so the Netziv's teretz to the kasha is that we don't make Zera the Rabba at night because there's no and the Beis Sharm's kasha is that The Beis Sharm's kasha is that the Beis Sharm's teretz rather is that because the matzah was only in Yerushalayim, that's where everyone was, and Yerushalayim was not a Rishus HaRab because the Dlossos were the Ulos Balayla. There's another, the Chemdas Yisrael. Who's the Chemdas Yisrael? That's the Klei Chemda, Rav Meir Don Plotsky. He was a big goon, and he wrote his famous sefer is Klei Chemda on the Chumash, and then he wrote a sefer called Chemdas Yisrael. Chemdas Yisrael on the other topics. So he said like this: whenever there's a mitzvah, so if you can't do the mitzvah, so at least if you learn about the mitzvah, right? It's ki'ilu, you did it. Rav Hershel Shachter pointed out that the Chofetz Chaim discusses whether that did is only by korbanos or it's by all mitzvahs. But let's assume for a second it's by all mitzvahs. Then whenever you can't do a mitzvah, so you learn about the mitzvah. It's as if you did the mitzvah. So he said like this: when it comes to lulav and shofar, so lulav and shofar, first of all, only mitzvahs for men. They're not. Then women are not chayv b'ikir, even though women like to do lulav and shofar. But technically speaking, they're mitzvahs esei shazman grama. So mitzvahs esei shazman grama, women are not chayovas. So those mitzvahs, they're not chayv b'chlal. So when we're gonna tell you not to do lulav and shofar, that means for the men. It's their chayiv and lulav and shofar. But then the men could still learn. They could still learn about the mitzvah. So we're not going to totally eradicate the mitzvah because you're going to still have the component of the learning component. But by matzah, that's the chayiv on women as well. So if we're going to take away the mitzvah of matzah from women, and assuming that women don't have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, so then the mitzvah is gone. We never want to take away the mitzvah totally. So when it comes to lulav and shofar, which are men's mitzvahs, so if we tell you can't do it on Shabbos, nope, I can't do it on Shabbos, but I'll learn the halachas. But matzah is a woman's mitzvah also. So if a woman has a chiyuv on matzah, so then and now we're going to take it away because it's we make it gzeira d'rabba, and assuming women don't have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah at all, so then the mitzvah is gone from them. And so Chazal never wanted to totally eradicate a mitzvah, even when it comes on Shabbos. They were relying that you'll at least learn the halachas. But women don't have a chiv, even though they might have a chiv to learn mitzad, they have to know what to do, you know, practically. They have to know, just to do. But that's not necessarily, as the Beis Halevi says, that's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's just a mitzvah, a hechsher mitzvah. That obviously, if you have a chiv to mitzvah, you have to know how to do it. So that, in other words, their chiyuv of Talmud Torah is just in order to facilitate them to be able to do mitzvahs, but not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah in its own right. This is a broader discussion about Torah for women. That's whatever. But that's what he points out. So if we take away matzah, that means we're taking away matzah from women too, because of the gzeira, and then they wouldn't have any way of giving a partial kibbutz, even though they could learn halachas. But women, if they're part of from Talmud Torah, they don't get that kiyum of as if they ki'ilu did it in lieu of the actual mitzvah itself. And one last tenets I have here, Rabbi David Cohen from Brooklyn, in his in one of his svarim. He writes that we know that the night of Pesach is called the Leil Shimurim. right? That we have special shmirah that on that night. You know, Kriya Shema Amita, we might not say the whole full thing, you know, because it's Leil Shimur. So Mamela, if a person is going to carry on that night by mistake, then he's going to be violating an Issa Skila, an Issa Kares. But since it's a Leil Shimurim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get a special Shmira, not to violate Issa Kares and Mamela. So since we have that Haftach of Leil Shimurim, that we're not, Hashem is protecting us, so he's protecting us that we shouldn't violate an Issa Kares also. Kares means a person could die young or whatever it is. So therefore, part of the Leil Shimurim is that we shouldn't violate an Issa Kares on the night of Pesach, and carrying in the street on the Mishus Rabim would be an Issa Kares. So the Leil Shimurim, including the Leil Shimurim, that we shouldn't get hurt by Mazikin and all different things, is that we shouldn't violate an Issa Kares as well. And that's how he writes, is maybe part of the idea of not having the Gzeira Darabo and not having the Zeri the Rabba on the night of Matzah, on the night, the first night of Pesach. So these are certain two unique aspects of this week, this year's, the fact that the Seder is Friday night, so that means that Erev Pesach Chalios Erev Shabbos, and that was the earliest time that they ever brought the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, because they had to get in both Akrovas HaKorban and the Tzlias HaKorban before night. And therefore, this is the real time, as Chaim Berlin says, for Mincha Gedola, even though I'm sure in the shuls they'll still have the regular Mincha Ketana Minyan as well. But this is the time that maybe, you know, Mincha Gedola could mamish be Lechatchila, as some point out, Chaim Berlin. And then the night of the Seder is Friday night, and usually whenever the first night of Yontif is a Shabbos, we don't do the mitzvah of the key. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't do the shofar, and here we don't do. Now, again, the simple pshat is because you don't need a bekias to eat. You need a bekias to know how to do shofar and how to do lulav. But the whole question of the shol meish is only according to Rashi in Sukkah Membeis, that he says it's not only the nuim, but it's even the bracha. And the bracha is equally relevant. Not the person not knowing how to make the bracha properly is equally relevant to matzah as it is to shofar and to lulav. If you didn't have that Rashi, the whole question would not begin. It's only once you have that Rashi in Sukkah, Mabez, and Mabez that the whole question begins. There's very interesting, just include Meir Simcha of Davidsk. So he wrote the Meshach Chachma. It's interesting that he cherished the Meshach Chachma more than he did. You know, he wrote a sefer on the Rambam called the Ursa Meach. But, you know, Rav Teitz from Elizabeth, he knew the Meshach Chachma. He knew that there were two Gaonim that lived in Davidsk. The Meshach Chachma, that's the Ursa Meach, the Meir Simcha Davidsk. And he had also the Ragachev. And these were like the two giants of giants in that town. So Rabbi Akiva Resnikus, grandson of Rabbi Teitz, I was his counselor many years ago in Rosh Hakol old camp. So he told me his grandfather said whenever he would come to visit the Meshach Chachma, the Meir Simcha, none of his farm were printed at that. It was all a manuscript at that point. So he says, his Sefer Or Sameach, the manuscripts he would keep on the table. But his Sefer Chumash, Meshach Chachma, always under lock and key. Even though he wouldn't keep it out on the table, you know, he was very protective of that. And then obviously it finally got printed, etc. But his Sefer Meshach Chachma, so he has a lot of tremendous chidushim in the Meshach Chachma. So one thing he says, and it's in Parshas Bahaloscha. If you're going to look in Parshas Bo, you're not going to find it. This is Parshas Bahaloscha, because Bahaloscha is Pesach Sheni, and he says the following, a chiddush. That normally, when a person converts to Judaism, so he does a milah, tefillah, you know, Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and he also has to bring a korban. Has to also bring a korban. So today we don't have korbanos, so I'll bring korbanos in the future. But a korban is part of the geirus as well. When you have it, though, you know, you have to bring it. If you don't, you'll bring it when the Beis HaMikdash is built. But he says an unbelievable thing, the Meshech Chochma, that if a person converted right before Pesach and the korban Pesach was brought, that counts as a korban geirus for all the geirus. Because a korban Pesach, because Pesach was like a geirus of all Klal Yisrael, that transformed all of Klal Yisrael to be in the, you know, in Hashem's you know, camp. That's interesting because Pesach and Mila are the two mitzvahs essay that if we don't do, we're chayv koris. All the other things of chayv koris are only lavin. Like eating chametz, eating chalev, and eating, right? But Pesach and Milah are the two things that the Bnei Yisachar explains. That's part of, makes us part of the whole, part of Klal Yisrael. And so therefore, when we think of Korban Pesach, it's like we're transforming each and every Jew. You know, you feel like, you feel different, Pesach. You know, Pesach is a transformation. So it says it's like a geirus. So on all of Klal Yisrael. So he says a chiddush that if a private ger didn't yet bring his korban, and then he brought, but then the Pesach came, and then there was a korban Pesach brought that he was part of. So the korban Pesach exempts him from having to bring any other korban gerus anymore, because that's like a communal gerus. And that was his, you can look in the Meshech Chochma, he says, but for us, I think it's a wonderful idea that Pesach is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, you know, and the Arugas HaBosim says an unbelievable thing. He says in his Sefer, he says, why is it so important this year? There's another aspect. This year we had to make a leap year, right? Because the Shana of the sun and the Shana of the moon, you know, is 11 days apart. So after a while, if you're not going to make an extra month, so then you're not going to have Pesach in the spring in the time, because it's going to be off. But the seasons will, you know, every year it's 11 days. So every couple of years we have to postpone it. But he says, you know why it's so important, Chodesh HaAviv? He says, because Chodesh Avim is a time that you plant and you take a seed and you put it in the ground. So the seed becomes, you know, bottled to the ground, and then it sprouts. And, you know, so that's what Pesach is, the Klal Yisrael. Every Jew is sprouting mechadosh. It's like a new beginning for us. You know, that's why it's so important to stress that Pesach is in the Chodesh HaAviv, not only because it's like Chazal say, it's a good time to leave Mitzrayim, it's good weather, etc., but it's a new beginning. Chodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. It's a new beginning for all of us. It's a new, you know, and then you count Sfira. It's a new beginning of Klal Yisrael, of, you know, doing tshuva. You know, I'll tell you one thing that it says in the in the piyut, I don't know. Usually I go to shuls that don't say Yotzros. When I'm in the Lower East Side, I made my shver, so those shuls say Yotzros because they have the old traditions. You know, you say Yotzros, and other people just have no patience anymore for Yotzros. But it says, and right, Rabbi Yellen, you said Yotzros in the shuls in the Lower East Side.
I think so.
Here in Muncie, they say it all the shuls here.
Yeah.
And okay. I never used to say Yotros, but all the shuls here do it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You don't find it outside LA. I don't think anyone does it.
Yeah. So in the Shabbos HaChodesh, that was last week. So it says by, I think, Musaf, Shabbos HaChodesh, that the month of Nisan is the month Shayeshuas Makifos, which literally means we're surrounded with miracles, right? So many miracles happen in the month of. So the Abdur Rav, the O of Yisrael, of Avram Yeshua Heschel, of Abdur, he says, I have another pshat, the Yeshua's Makifas. Makifas literally means you're surrounded. He said, but Makifas has another meaning. And if you learn in Shas, in Mishnayis, Hakafa means when you buy something on credit. That's Hakafa. You buy it by Hakafa. You don't pay the money. It's a credit. You get it. So he says, all the miracles that we got at Nissan, we didn't deserve anything. We were on the Mentesh Sharituma. We were so low. Hashem had to take us out. Because the Kaddish says, if we wouldn't have taken us out, we would have been stuck. We've been too low down. We couldn't have been able to be extricated from its riot. So everything we get on Pesach night is all what? B'hakafa. So it's all, in other words, we paid it with the credit card. And then Sfira, the Ramami Pana, was a part of this Eliezer, says the beginning of the time where what? We start paying the credit card bill back every day of Sfira. He says, and that, the Ramami Pana says, an unbelievable thing. In some communities, I never did this in my life, but in some Haggadahs, and in Borough Park, it's very common, after the Seder, everyone goes to shul on the second night. Because they're makpid in the Hasidic circles to do Sfira Dafka after the Seder. In some Haggadahs, they have the Sfira at the end of the Seder for the second night. The Sfira is at most places, we just do Sfira at Marif, in Shul. But so what's the Pshat? So the part of this is explained from the Ramami Pandu, because what's Sfira? Sfira is paying back the Chayv that all the Yeshuas that you got. You got on credit. So it's not shaykh to speak about paying back before you took the merchandise. So the Seder is discussing all the merchandise, all the things that we got, the Kriyas Yamsuf and everything that Hashem did for us, all on credit. So now, after the Seder, that's when it's apropos to pay back the credit card bill. And beginning, that's the Sfira. You have a payment in installments till we get to Shavuos. Hopefully, we'll earn our keep. And finally, be Mizoka to be Makabal the Torah.